Here is a number that matters for this conversation. 1 kilogram of Jet A holds roughly 12,000 watt-hours of energy. 1 kilogram of the best lithium-ion battery cells available today holds about 250 watt-hours. That is a gap of nearly 50 to 1. And you feel that gap in range, in climb performance, in payload. For a short-hop trainer or an ultralight, batteries are genuinely interesting. For a 19-seat regional turboprop carrying paying passengers 200 miles with reserves, batteries are not a solution. Not today, and not in any credible projection for this decade. I'm Vector. This is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. And today, we are talking about why hydrogen is the word that changes the math for regional aviation and about the company that just made the most significant move yet to prove it can work. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you have earned a rating, survived a check ride, or had a moment in the cockpit you want to mark permanently, AviationSoul makes challenge coins for the milestones that matter. First solo private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Now, before we get into what actually happened and what it means, we need to clear up a terminology problem. Because when people say hydrogen aircraft, there are two completely different technologies hiding behind that phrase, and they are not the same conversation. The first is hydrogen combustion. You take hydrogen gas, you burn it in a turbine or a piston engine, it combusts, it produces thrust. Airbus is exploring this with their Zero concept family. Some turbine manufacturers are examining hydrogen burning variants of existing engines. Combustion is familiar. The engineering challenges are real, but they rhyme with things we already understand. The second is hydrogen fuel cells. A fuel cell does not burn hydrogen. A fuel cell runs hydrogen and oxygen through a chemical reaction across a proton exchange membrane. And what comes out on one side is electricity. What comes out the exhaust is water vapor. The electricity drives electric motors. No combustion, no turbine stage, no hot section to inspect, just a chemical to electrical conversion, motors and propellers turning. These are fundamentally different aircraft concepts. Different engineering, different infrastructure, different certification pathways. When you hear the company ZeroAvia talk about hydrogen electric, they mean fuel cells feeding electric motors. Keep that distinction in your mental model, because it matters for every conversation about this technology. So why does hydrogen win on energy density, where batteries lose? Hydrogen is the lightest element on the periodic table. By mass, liquid hydrogen carries about 33,000 watt-hours per kilogram, 3 times the energy density of Jet A by weight. The problem is not the energy. The problem is the packaging. Hydrogen is either stored cryogenically as a liquid at negative 253 degrees Celsius, which requires insulated tanks and a handling infrastructure that essentially does not exist at airports yet, or it is stored as compressed gas, which is more practical on the ground, but heavier per unit of energy than the liquid form. The Dornier 228 that ZeroAvia flew used compressed gaseous hydrogen, stored in cylindrical composite tanks onboard the aircraft. The right engine, the starboard turboprop, was replaced entirely with the ZA-600 powertrain. That is their designation. ZA-600. Approximately 600 kilowatts of output, hydrogen fuel cell stack to electric motor to propeller. The left engine remained a conventional turboprop for this test flight. So this was a hybrid configuration, one hydrogen electric, one conventional. And the aircraft flew for approximately 10 minutes at Cotswold Airport in the United Kingdom, at a site called Kemble on January 19, 2023. 10 minutes does not sound like a long time, but 10 minutes with a 19-seat commercial regional airframe running on hydrogen electric propulsion had never been done before at that scale. That flight crossed a threshold. It validated a powertrain architecture at a size that matters for real road structures, and it established that the ZA-600 installation could function as an integrated system in a real aircraft. Not a test stand, not a simulator, not a subscale demonstrator. The Dornier 228, for those who have not spent time around regional aviation, is a twin turboprop workhorse that has been operating on short regional routes, commuter service, cargo, and special mission work for decades. It seats 19 passengers in a typical configuration, still in production, recognizable at practically every regional airport with serious short-haul traffic. ZeroAvia did not pick a random airframe. They picked one that pilots and operators already trust. Let me tell you a little about ZeroAvia as a company, because the organizational context matters. Founded in 2017 by an entrepreneur and physicist named Val Miftikoff, the company operates out of Cranfield Airport in the United Kingdom and maintains operations in the United States. Their core strategy from the beginning has been integration rather than invention. They are not trying to be a motor company or a fuel cell company. They are taking commercial airframes with existing certification history and engineering hydrogen electric powertrains to replace the existing propulsion. The theory is that you leverage the certification work already done on the airframe and fight your battle specifically on the powertrain, which is still a hard fight, but a more tractable problem than certifying an entirely new aircraft from scratch. Their first hydrogen fuel cell flight was in 2020 at Cranfield with a 6-seat aircraft. Small proof of concept, but it worked. They refined the system, attracted investment from Amazon, from Breakthrough Energy Ventures, and from other strategic backers. And they kept scaling up. The Dornier 228 was the next order of magnitude. Here is where I have to be the systems engineer in the room for a moment, because there is a distance between where ZeroAvia is right now and a fully certified, commercially operating hydrogen electric regional aircraft. And the distance has several dimensions that are worth naming honestly. The first dimension is range. Compressed hydrogen is heavy tanks for the energy delivered. To reach commercially useful ranges, something like 200 to 300 miles with reserves and full payload, you need either cryogenic liquid hydrogen or a powertrain to weight ratio that has not yet been demonstrated at commercial scale. ZeroAvia's published roadmap targets roughly 300 miles for the 19-seat variant at commercial certification. The data they have published suggests that is achievable, but it has not been proven in extended flight operations, not yet. The second dimension is certification. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, and the UK Civil Aviation Authority do not have an existing rulebook for hydrogen electric powertrains on commercial passenger aircraft. ZeroAvia is working with both agencies. They received an experimental airworthiness certificate that allowed the Dornier test flights. Getting from experimental to full type certification is the hardest part of this industry at every level. It requires years of test data, failure mode analysis, system redundancy demonstration, and regulatory interpretation on questions nobody has had to answer before. The timeline for that process is genuinely uncertain, and anyone who gives you a precise date should be looked at carefully. The third dimension is infrastructure. This is the one that tends to get underestimated in coverage of this technology. Hydrogen fueling at commercial airports barely exists in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Europe. The number of airports with hydrogen delivery capability appropriate for aviation is essentially zero in any operational sense. That is not a permanent condition. Infrastructure follows economic demand and policy commitment. But the chicken and egg problem is real. Operators will not commit to hydrogen aircraft until the fueling infrastructure exists. The infrastructure will not get built until operators commit to orders. Resolving that loop is as much a market development challenge as an engineering one. And there is a cautionary data point in the competitive landscape that I think pilots following this space should know about. Universal Hydrogen, another company pursuing hydrogen-modified regional turboprops, flew a modified ATR with a hydrogen fuel cell powering one engine in early 2023, just a few months after ZeroAvia's Dornier flight. The scale was impressive. The milestone was real. Universal Hydrogen went bankrupt in 2024. Not because the technology failed, because the path to commercialization was longer and more expensive than the capital environment was willing to sustain. Aviation has seen this pattern before, and it is part of the honest picture of where this technology sits right now. Being first to fly a milestone does not mean being first to market. ZeroAvia, as of this writing, is still flying, still funded, and still publishing data. Their next generation powertrain is the ZA-2000, 2000 kilowatts. Targeting 40 to 80 seat regional jets and turboprops, the Dash 8, the ATR 42 and 72, the class of aircraft that runs the routes between mid-sized cities, the routes that are too short for a mainline narrow body and too long for a small piston. If ZeroAvia can get the ZA-2000 certified and operating on those airframes, the market they address becomes genuinely significant, not just for aviation, but for the emissions picture of short-haul air travel, which is a meaningful fraction of commercial aviation's total footprint. Their published roadmap targets mid-decade for initial ZA-2000 operations. Given the certification realities I just described, that is optimistic. End of decade is more consistent with how novel propulsion systems have historically moved through the system. But timelines do sometimes compress when the regulatory agencies lean in, when the flight test data comes in clean, and when the economic pressure from operators is high enough. Here is what makes hydrogen electric genuinely compelling as a technology direction. Even accounting for all of that. The efficiency math is different from combustion. A hydrogen fuel cell converts chemical energy to electrical energy at roughly 50 to 60% efficiency? That sounds lower than you might expect from a technology being billed as advanced, but compare it to a conventional gas turbine, which converts combustion energy to shaft output at somewhere around 30 to 40% efficiency for a regional turboprop under typical operating conditions. You arrive at the propeller with comparable or better efficiency per unit of hydrogen versus Jet A, and the exhaust is water vapor. No particulates, no nitrogen oxides, no carbon dioxide. For pilots, the operational experience of a hydrogen electric aircraft would feel genuinely different from the cockpit. Electric motors have flat torque curves, full torque available from essentially zero RPM. Power response measured in milliseconds, not the seconds it takes a turbine to spool. No compressor stall, no hot start, no inter-turbine temperature limit creeping up on a hot afternoon at a high-elevation airport. The failure modes are different, and the training for those failure modes will have to be built from scratch because the systems are different enough that existing engine failure procedures do not map cleanly. But the day-to-day operating characteristics have real advantages that pilots who fly these aircraft will appreciate immediately. The data tells an interesting story about where the serious players are placing their bets. Major airframe manufacturers are not ignoring this. Airbus has hydrogen variants in the Zero family under active research. Boeing has published analysis on hydrogen integration. Regional airlines in Europe, where route distances match the achievable range better than most domestic US routes, are watching closely. Several Scandinavian operators and smaller UK regionals have signed letters of intent with ZeroAvia, which means they are interested enough to put their name on paper. They have not signed purchase agreements. That distinction matters, but letters of intent are where the commercial pathway begins. For pilots thinking about what this means for the near term, the realistic answer is that regional flying will remain conventional through most of this decade. The transition, when it comes, will start at the short-haul edge of the route map. The 50 and 75 mile hops where the range constraints are least limiting and where the fueling infrastructure is most likely to arrive first. From there, it scales outward as the technology matures and the supply chain develops. Pilots starting their careers right now will likely see hydrogen electric aircraft in commercial regional service before they hit their peak years. The type ratings will need to be created. The ground handling procedures around hydrogen, which has a specific safety profile around pressure and flammability that is different from Jet A, will require dedicated training and airport procedural updates. The systems knowledge a pilot needs to carry for a hydrogen electric aircraft is genuinely different from what we carry today. None of this is coming tomorrow, but it is coming on a timeline that makes it relevant to career planning in a way that 10 years ago it was not. The Dornier 228 that lifted off at Cotswold Airport in January 2023 will probably end up in a museum someday, identified as the aircraft that crossed a threshold. Whether ZeroAvia is the company that ultimately commercializes hydrogen electric regional aviation or not, the threshold is real. The physics work. The ZA-600 ran in a real aircraft on a real runway and put that aircraft in the air. The question is everything that comes after that. And that is what the rest of this decade is going to answer. Sources for today's segment include Aviation Week, ZeroAvia's published technical documentation, and reporting from both the UK Civil Aviation Authority and the FAA on the experimental certification framework for novel electric propulsion. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Stay curious about what comes next.